Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So often the Christmas season becomes commercialized and rather overwhelming. For the next few moments, we invite you to join us with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word as we turn our hearts towards the Christ of Christmas. Stay with us. So many things are fighting for our attention this time of year. There are family gatherings and church fellowships and time to shop and time to spend with friends. You know, there is one that deserves your utmost attention, your utmost worship. He is the center of it all, the Christ of Christmas. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to focus on Jesus. He is more than the reason for the season. He is the beginning and the end, God in the flesh, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Heavenly King, sent to be our Savior. Welcome to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, Dr. Chappell helps us to focus on Christmas. Before we join our message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth, and you'll find out more information about this program and this ministry, dailyintheword.org. Refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and daily devotional. You'll enjoy these resources, and so will someone that you love this season. All of it's to be found at dailyintheword.org. Today, we're going to examine God's promise to Mary. Here's Paul Chappell.
People get the idea of Christmas, you know, a little bit twisted, and they kind of put their own superimposed idea. You know, if they're really into airplanes, maybe that's the way it would come out, or maybe if they're really into materialism, it comes out a different way. But you see, the real reason He came was to be our Savior. The real reason Christ came was to forgive us for our sins. The Bible speaks of His coming in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 by this phrase, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me." Jesus says, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." In other words, the day of the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings has come to an end. "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me." Why was there a body prepared for Jesus Christ? So that He could lay that body down on the cross for our sins, you see. And when the day of the Old Testament sacrifice came to an end, then God sent forth His Son, Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of a man, bodily, so that He could die for our sins. And this body which was prepared of the Holy Ghost was offered for your sin and for mine. And so Jesus Christ is our Savior. And the message of this great promise is that we have a Savior if we will choose to receive Him as our Savior. But you know, this verse not only tells us that He is our Savior, but it also reminds us that He is our King. And the Bible speaks of that in verse number 32. The Bible says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now, we need to keep in our minds this morning that this Christ child, this one who lived on this earth and who was rejected of his own and who was despised and crucified, who was not received as a king in his first advent, will come again as the King to rule and reign over this earth. And we as Christians today need to keep that firmly implanted in our minds. The Bible says in Revelation 19 and verse 16, when Jesus comes again, it simply says, "And He hath on His vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to remember during the Christmas season that this one who came the first time as an innocent babe in Bethlehem's manger is coming the second time with his vesture dipped in blood, and he's coming as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords, and he will execute righteous judgment, and he will establish his kingdom on this earth, and he will fulfill the Davidic covenant and the promises given to the Jews and the promises given to Christians that he will be our King. One day Jesus Christ will truly bring peace to this earth. And you and I today realize that there will be no peace in the peace accords and no peace that will last in the United Nations accords, but there will be peace when Jesus Christ comes again. And we thank God for that promise today, that he will bring peace to this earth. And that's what the Bible promises. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What a great promise that one day the King will come. You know, I read a few years ago that every year the New York City Post Office receives 50,000 pieces of mail addressed to Santa Claus. Now that's hard to comprehend. 50,000 children write letters to Santa Claus in that one city alone. And a few years ago, a young boy wrote a letter to Santa that read like this: Dear Santa, they killed my dad. He drove a taxi. Would you please send me a pair of pants and two sweaters? Think of that. Would you send me a pair of pants and two sweaters? You know, friend, I think of letters like that. I think of the wars and the murder and the mayhem on this earth, and I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Because the one who came in the manger the first time will come as the King the second time. And we need to remember that today. He is our Savior and he is our coming King. And so we see this morning in this passage the moment of the promise. It was according to the fullness of time. It was according to the pattern of God and the timing of God. And the promise came to a prepared vessel named Mary. And we thank God for the moment of promise that came to the city of Nazareth. But then we see, secondly, the message of this promise. And the message is that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that Jesus Christ is our King, and that we can put our faith and trust in him, knowing that because of the virgin birth, he is a perfect Savior. And because of the fact that he not only died but rose again, he is a coming King, and we can rest our hearts in that great promise this morning. But then I want to share with you this morning not only the moment of this promise, not only the message of this promise, but I want you to see with me, thirdly, the miracle of the promise. The miracle of this promise. Now notice, if you would, in verses 37 and 38. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now the miracle of this promise, first of all, is based on the power of God. It is based on the power of God. You see, in verse number 36, the Bible is reminding here Mary about her cousin Elizabeth and about the miraculous power of God. And then the angel simply says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, Jesus Christ said it this way: With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. My friend, God's promises are backed up by his power. And we thank God for that today. My wife and I were talking about something the other day, and we were thinking about, well, what should we get the kids for Christmas? And she mentioned something. I said, honey, those things always break. I said, I don't know if that's what we ought to get. And I said, and the warranties are never as good as you think they are. And we were discussing different items. You know, that's how the world's warranties are. Things break, and you find out the warranty lasted just a few days less than the breakdown took place. And that's how it is, whether it's a car or a toy. And you know, the fact of the matter is that man's promises don't always seem to hold up. But the promises of God are backed up by the power of God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Would you read that verse together with me this morning? Verse number 37. It's a good reminder, no matter what your circumstance today. Ready, begin. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. All right, one more time. Ready, begin. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, oftentimes we use our logical thinking to somehow coincide with the Bible's promises. But my friend, you're not going to be able to claim the promises of God if you're involved in that type of a thinking process. You see, that's the opposite of faith. The Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we thank God this morning for this promise, that when God says something, and when God gives a promise, you can take that promise and claim it as your very own. One time I saw a bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I thought about that for a moment. I said to my wife, I said, honey, God said it, that settles it, whether he believes it or not, you see. If God says it, we can claim it as a promise. You know why? Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. And my friend, today, this promise that was given to Mary was a promise that was based on the power of God. And every promise in this book is yours and mine to claim. And they are based on the promises of God. And they are based on the history of God who fulfills every promise. Now, sometimes we'll hear a promise of God, or we'll hear the preacher preach a message, and we'll say, well, you know, that's fine, but, you know, I've got to have plan B. I don't want to just trust in God. I've got to make sure that I've got my backup plan here. I've got to make sure that I've got an escape route just in case God blows it. Now, folks, we would never say it quite that way, but a lot of times that's how we live our life. And a lot of times we fall somewhat short of really believing that with God, all things are possible. I heard about another little boy named Joey whose mother asked him, she said, Joey, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And if you ever ask your kids that, we ask our kids that all the time. Joey, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And Joey said, well, Mom, the teacher taught a great lesson and told us about how Moses snuck behind the enemy lines and he went on a rescue mission to rescue the Israelites from Egypt. And when they got down to the Red Sea, his engineers built a pontoon bridge so that everyone can cross over the Red Sea. And then he got on his walkie-talkie and he called the reinforcements to come in and defeat the Egyptians. And they sent the bombers in to blow up the bridge and all the Israelites were saved. And it was awesome. His mom said, now, Joey, is that really what the teacher said? And he said, well, no, Mom, but if I told you the story the way she did, you'd never believe it. And you know, sometimes that's how we as Christians are. You know, with God, all things are possible. Right, but you know, that's good. That's good church talk. But where's the bombers, man? I've got to have plan B. And sometimes our faith is really skewed because of an inability just to trust God at His Word. My Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You say, but you don't know how messed up our marriage is. You don't know how difficult the situation right now. No, but I know that with God, nothing is impossible. You say, but you don't understand how sick I've been. You don't understand the situation that I'm experiencing right now. No, I may not understand that, but I understand this verse that with God, nothing shall be impossible. My friends, do you know how we're going to finish that $6 million building out there? I'll tell you right now, by claiming this verse, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say, well, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. Friend, you don't need to understand your situation. What we need to understand this morning is God's situation, that with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And you see, friend, today, if we're looking for plan B, then we're not going to please God in the first place, because we need to keep our faith and trust in Him. And this is the message that Mary needed to understand. Because Mary, in hearing the promise, and in trying to comprehend it, had to hear these words too. She had to hear these words too. And if you're here this morning and sometimes your faith wavers, or sometimes you sit around and think, man, I don't know how in the world this is going to work out and that's going to work out. Maybe you need to reconcile with the fact that we serve a God who says, with me, nothing will be impossible. Now, don't raise your hand this morning. But how many of you believe that today? How many of you believe that with God, nothing shall be impossible? Because to the proportion of our faith, God is pleased. And as we say, Lord, I'm not looking for the engineers to put out a pontoon bridge. I'm looking for you to part the waters. God says, good. I've got experience with that, and I can help you with that. You see, with God, nothing shall be impossible. This promise was based on the power of God. And that was the miracle of the promise, that it was due to the power of God. And then not only was it based on the power of God, but it was based on the surrender of Mary. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, you know what the word handmaid means. It means a slave girl. It means someone totally sold out to God. Now, I wonder how many, given such a tremendous promise, such a tremendous promise as Mary heard, and the only thing backing it up being an angel saying, with God, nothing's impossible. Don't worry about it. I wonder how many of us would say, okay, God, I'm your slave. Whatever you want to do with me, you can do it. I don't know how many of us would have had the faith of Mary. But Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. She said, Whatever you want to use me for. I think the Bible says something similar in Romans chapter 12, doesn't it? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You know what every one of us as Christians should say to the Lord? Lord, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the servant of the Lord. Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it for your glory. And that's what Mary said. She said, Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it for your glory. I want to be sold out to you. Be it unto me, she says, according to your word. You ever find yourself fighting certain circumstances and resisting the impulse of God? Maybe that fighting goes on in relationship to something God wants you to do. Maybe there's an area of obedience God wants you to follow through on, and you find yourself fighting that. Why don't you say this morning as Mary did, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, I'm going to lay down my will and become your bondservant. I want you to be pleased in my life. Mary heard the angel out. She listened to what he had to say. And oftentimes, a work of God comes with two edges. It comes with great joy, and it comes with great pain. And Mary realized that as the joy would come, there would also be the pain of being misunderstood. There would be the pain of rejection. There would be the pain in Joseph's heart. There would be much pain for Mary. You know what I find in modern day Christianity is that we want the joy without the pain. We want the crown without the cross. We want the promises without the faith, you see. We want the quick credit, the quick fix, the quick everything. But Mary, in pondering this, and Mary in saying, be it unto me according to thy word, realized she was yielding her whole life into the hand of God. And in her response, Mary embraced both the joy and the pain. She was the first person to accept Jesus Christ on his own terms, regardless of the personal cost. Ladies, today, if God calls you to serve him, what if that means that you must be more committed to your family than the average woman in society today? What if that means that you might be ridiculed as being some old stick-in-the-mud type of a woman? Men today, what if serving Christ means that at work you're going to be known as, you know, the deacon or the preacher? What if that means that people are going to think you strange? Can you say to the Lord, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word? Or is there going to be that constant battle, that constant, I wish I could have done it differently. I wish I didn't have to be embarrassed for Christ like this. I think Mary understood the cost, don't you? And I think she realized that, yes, there would come a morning of great joy when Jesus would be born. But there would also be times of ridicule and hurt and pain. And we see that in her life. But because of her faith, she remained faithful. You know, I believe this morning that God still works miracles through surrendered people. And I believe that when a people, when a church, when an individual says to the promise of God, God, be it unto me according to thy word, that God says, I want to work in that kind of a life. God says, I want to bless that kind of a church. I want to bless that kind of a person. And you see, God fulfilled his promise to Mary. And because of the promise to Mary, and because of the faith of Mary, and because of the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, and because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a Savior today, a perfect Savior. And my friend, I give to you this morning the good news of this Christmas season. And the good news is that the greatest gift anyone could ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse number 23, the wages of our sin is death. None of us this morning are perfect. None of us are good or morally righteous. We all fall short of the glory of God. But thank God that Jesus Christ came and He was born of the Virgin Mary, lived that perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. And now, as a resurrected Savior, He says to you and He says to me, though the wages of your sin is death and separation from God, I have a gift for you. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, friend, eternal life is not found in the Baptist church or the Catholic church or the Episcopalian church. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. When you finally realize that, yes, as a sinner, I cannot save myself, but Jesus Christ as the Savior died for me, and you invite Jesus Christ into your heart by faith, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, if you have never received that gift, in just a moment we would invite you to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. And then, if you're here this morning and there's some promise of God that you're not claiming, might I encourage you this morning to simply say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. God says to us that if we'll go and bear the precious seed, we'll come again, bringing our sheaves with us. And perhaps that soul winner's promise is something you've neglected. Perhaps someone today would say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I want to be a witness for you. I want to throw out the seed and watch the harvest come in. God says in his word, give and it shall be given unto you. And someone might say, hey, that's great, Lord, but I'm waiting for the airplane loads of relief. And maybe this morning you just need to say, Lord, with you all things are possible, and I'm going to be faithful in that area. Maybe God's simply saying to you in His Word this morning regarding prayer, that He honors the importunate prayer, the faithful prayer of His people. And God says, for example, ask and you shall receive. And maybe you've been asking, but not with real faith today. I don't know what the area would be in your life, but I know that with God, all things are possible. And so whether you need to trust in Christ and in the promises of Christ for salvation this morning, or whether you need to be faithful in some other area of the Christian life, Mary is a great example for us. And God's promise to Mary is alive and it is relevant for our lives even this morning. And I pray that we would have the faith to trust in the God of Mary and to be saved or to grow in our Christian life by His will. Father, we thank you this morning for this time to open up your word and to hear the promise that you gave to Mary. And Lord, I would ask you at this moment in our service that you would speak to hearts, Lord, that you would help us to let the Bible be like a mirror shining back into our hearts today.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And from the entire staff at Daily in the Word and Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year. We sure hope that this season you'll truly make Jesus Christ the center of your Christmas and the center of your life. Before we close today's program, I invite you to consider the question, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? We heard about that in this morning's message, and friend, it's as simple as making a faith decision to once and for all let go of whatever you're trusting for eternal salvation and to trust Christ alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could call right now. You could bow your head and heart and in the privacy of your own life, invite Jesus Christ into your life as your one and only Savior once and for all. It's a simple decision, but it's a great decision. As you enjoy a busy but memory-filled holiday season, I want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the link to the bookstore. You'll find not only some great resources to strengthen your own walk with Christ, you'll find a lot of wonderful gift ideas, books and resources for spiritual growth, the kinds of gifts that are Christ-centered, that are biblical, that will help those you love to strengthen their own faith over the Christmas season and well into the new year. All of these resources are found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org, and click on the link that says bookstore. Friend, you can contact us here at Daily in the Word. We love to hear from our listeners. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.